to be honest with you, the topic that I was starting with this past week when I started studying for this message, God took that and turned me and went a totally different way. I had no idea until I came in here this morning and I started thinking about it. If you are here visiting from a different church, you are not a member of this church, please raise your hand. Look around. Okay? This is an extremely important message, not because I'm preaching it, because my members will tell you, I'm nothing, I'm a nobody. I don't claim to be anybody, I'm not a big shot, I am not even hardly a shot at all, all right? So God inspired me to preach this, I really believe, because it's not affecting just this church, it's affecting every church in every state in this nation. And it's sad. And we need to be prepared. We need to be proactive. And listen, Chevis Oaks Baptist Church, by the grace of God, we don't need to allow what we're going to talk about today happen in this church. Amen? Y'all don't even know what I'm going to talk about. Mr. White, you're the only one who said amen. Hey, we might be, instead of Lord's Supper, we're going to eat chocolate pudding. And you just said amen, man. Goodness gracious. At this time, I want everybody to pull your phone out. Go to Facebook if you have a Facebook page and check in to Chevis Oaks Baptist Church and, you know, be kind. Glad you're here. Those of you who are here, again, we're going to get to the book of Acts right here in a second. Now, last week we took an in-depth look at where the church came from. We saw that the church was concealed in the Old Testament. We could not see the church. Prophets did not prophesy about the coming church. But it was there in the background being nurtured by the hand of God. We saw that God started the church with individuals having devotional and devotion and sacrificing as an act of worship to God. And as we finished the study, we saw that the church had progressed in size and stature as the book of Revelation addressed seven churches in different locations and what was in that day called Asia, we call Western Turkey today. Now that we know where the church came from, the next logical question that seems to naturally come about is this: where's the church going? Church, y'all worried? We know where the church came from now. Where in the world is the church going? So let's look at Acts chapter 28, and we're going to start in verse 28. Acts 28, verse 28. Luke is finishing up, and he says, "Therefore, let it be known to you that the saving work of God has been sent to the Gentiles." Now, those of you who are in our Wednesday night class, we need to get amen right there. It's been sent to the Gentiles. It's not exclusively for the Jews. It is for the Gentiles as well. They will listen. Whoa! Meaning that the Jewish authorities, were they listening? No. But the Gentiles, they will listen. After he said these things, the Jews departed while engaging in prolonged debate among themselves. I wonder what they were talking about. Then he stayed 2 whole years in his own rented house. And he welcomed all who visited him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching the things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with full boldness and without any hindrance. Let's pray. Lord, we're coming to you again right now, right on the threshold of the message. Now, Lord, I pray that you would just still our hearts. There won't be any moving around. God, you would have let me preach this message the way you put it on my heart. Lord, I pray that you just loose me and let me go. Amen. Lord, please. Lord, I pray that every person under the sound of my voice and who may be listening to this message on the internet in the days to come, God, will receive a blessing from you. Not because of me, but because of who you are. And that, Lord, this message desperately needs to be heard. It needs to be understood that we might stand beside the church and protect the church and love the church that you created. In Jesus' name I do pray. And all God's children said, amen. What do you see of the church at the end of the book of Acts? Did y'all see anything there? As we closed the chapter, as we read those final few verses. We saw a few things, but we didn't see everything. We saw where the church was heading. We saw where the church, a little bit of where the church was, but the church is not done there. For us to say that the church is what the church should always be at the end of the book of Acts is very foolish. The church is still evolving. Brother Kyle, you've been saying that. I'm probably going to say it again before this message is over. Now, what do we see? What do we see of the church at the end of the book of Acts? We did not see, church, any steeples. Did y'all see any steeples there? We didn't. Y'all need to get a little more vocal. I know it's hot in here. All right. Did we see any steeples there? Okay, there we go. Did we see any pews, crosses, remembrance tables, baptism pools, choirs, praise teams? We didn't see any instruments. We didn't even see any carpets. Hey, for the most part, we didn't even see any preachers there, did we? No. Well, Brother Kyle, where are you going here? Just hold on. Hold on. Y'all don't get anxious now. What we did see is the bride of Christ gradually evolving. For those who say the church was never meant to be what it is today, I would say to you, you're both right and you're wrong. We cannot put any dimensions on what God was still building. But we can look at what God was building and see how it has become blemished over a period of time. Did God intend for us to have denominations? Did God intend for us to have 14 churches on the same road? No. Do you know why we have so many denominations? Because we can't agree. We can't get along. Well, I'm right. No, listen, I'm right. No, we're gonna split this. We're gonna go here. We're gonna start our own church, and we're gonna call it the First Right People of God. Right? Have y'all ever seen? It blows my mind. Those long United House Prayer, Bethlehem, Church of God, Holiness, I mean, like this long. If somebody says, where do you go to church? And I went to that church, I said, on Elm Street. Holy moly. Long. Hey, listen, who created the church? Christ created the church. You know what it's supposed to be called? The church. Well, wait a second, Brother Kyle, that's too simple. Listen, do you really think God made it that hard? No. Who messed it up? Who? Y'all got to get this. Who messed the whole church thing up? Man, listen, Scripture wants us to fellowship one another. This ought to be utopia in here. This ought to be the closest thing, and it is at our church, right? Listen, y'all, I feel sorry for y'all. Y'all go to a different church. It is at our church. This ought to be the closest thing to the Garden of Eden man can step foot in on this side of heaven. It really ought to be. Christ created it in its perfection. And everything that God has created in his perfection, man has found a way to, guess what? Mess it up. That's what we're good at. You know, some of you, I am the best at making lemon pound cakes. I'm the best at making banana pudding. I'm the best. Listen, what we ought to do is throw our hand up and say, I'm the best at messing everything up. And some of y'all are professionals. I'm going to start checking pockets, not at this church, but when I go to other churches, I'm going to start checking pockets to make sure nobody has a spoon in their pocket, because those people constantly stir stuff up, don't they? Y'all know who I'm talking about, don't you? Don't you? Christ didn't intend it to be this way. What we see at the end of Acts is God completely breaking down the barrier between man and himself. We see God drawing all men and making a way for them all. Did y'all see that? Did you see that? Let's look at it again. He says in verse 28, therefore, let it be known to you that this saving work of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen. The barrier has been broken. The veil has been removed. Any person who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God's removed the barrier. Then why in the love of God are there so many barriers in every single church? Why? I grew up I didn't grow up. I went to a different denomination. Y'all know what I'm talking about, that other denomination? You know what I'm talking about? I went to a different denomination. And I was growing up, and I did, you know, the pastor would say, Jesus loves you, and we'd say, and also to you. We do that. It was call and response. We you know, every single week. And I went through all the steps, but they would never let me join. They didn't even talk to me about joining. I was a bad kid, and everybody there knew me. Now, Waddell kid, no. Let him come. Just check the pew, make sure he doesn't steal the stuffing out of it when he leaves. But they would never let me join. You know why? Because I wasn't good enough. None of us are good enough. That's why Jesus came and he had to die, because none of us are good enough. We set so many barriers. Listen, we do it. God doesn't do it. We do it. Well, listen. Once you clean up a little bit, once you take a shower and you change your underwear and you wear a coat and you wear a tie to church and you can't wear this, and listen, you got to do this. We all have our you know, expectations of what people must do. Jesus said, all you have to do is believe. Believe. Well, I don't even have to go to church. No, you don't have to go to church. But if you're saved, you want to go to church. Forsake yourself not the assembling of the saints of God. Listen, you want to. I want to come more. But y'all won't be here. I'd preach every day, but y'all wouldn't be here. Brother Kyle, every day. I would. I'm telling you I would. Wouldn't be good, but I'd do it. All right. This is one of the most beautiful pictures painted in Scripture. As we look over the landscape of the church since the book of Acts shuts, we must ask ourselves, what in the world happened to the church? We see it growing, thriving. I mean, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful picture. What in the world happened? Last week, we heard the good news that Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overpower it. Church, this means that his church will forever remain. It doesn't matter how hell tries to destroy it, and it's trying. His church will forever and forever, ever remain. That's the good news. Now for the bad news. Y'all ready? Maybe not. Here's the bad news, church, about the church. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 says this. Before God in Christ Jesus, who is going to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, I solemnly charge you. This was written to Timothy. It was recorded by Paul. It was written in the Holy Scriptures. For who? For us. Right? Listen again. Before God in Christ Jesus, who is going to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, I solemnly charge you. You can circle that, Ms. Desi, and over to the side, you can write your name. You're being charged here. Are you ready? Proclaim the message, persist in it, whether convenient or not, rebuke, correct, and encourage with great patience and teaching. Now, I'm going to hold my finger right here for a second, because, listen, you need to make reference to this scripture. You're seeing news articles and people all day, every day in our politically correct society. If you say anything to them, you're judging them. Don't judge me. Who are you to judge me? Hold on a second. This scripture says that if I'm to do, I'm charged. I've been told, listen, I'm to do it in love, but I'm to rebuke. Correct? Right? Now, we ought not wear a Barney Fife badge and walk around and say, hey, listen, man, you're going to hell. No. But when Christians, people we love, are doing something that's against Scripture, we ought to love them enough to tell them, amen. Are they going to be nice all the time? No. But it's our duty. We're charged to do this. Listen, number three, why are we charged and why are we given this job title? Number three, for the time might come. This scripture says the time will come. They will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. That means against God's desires. Their own desires will accumulate teachers for themselves because they have an itch to hear something new. They will turn away from hearing the truth and will turn aside to myths. Do y'all see that happening in our society today? Do you? Do y'all remember the 80s when something crazy would happen in the world? And Ronald Reagan George Bush and even Clinton, they would call in spiritual advisors, men of God, Adrian Rogers, Jerry Vine, I could sit here and name several, Billy Graham, and they'd say, listen, what is God trying to do here? We don't have that anymore. And it's sad. And we're perishing because of it. Brother Kyle, what else do you see? What is the church becoming? What direction do you see? Well, all we have to do is look over at chapter 3, same book. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Where's the church heading? Chapter 3. But know this, Paul writes, difficult times will come in the last days. May 14th, 1948, Israel became a nation. Jesus said in the parable of the fig tree, this generation, what generation? The generation that was born on May 14th, 1948, Jesus says, this generation shall not pass away before my return. How close are we? You do the math. Mr. White's getting old. Born 1948. Listen to what he says here. But know this, difficult times will come in the last days. Mr. White, are they difficult? More difficult than when you were a child? You're right. For people, listen to this, for people will be lovers of self. Hello? People will be lovers of self. We could stop right there and preach a message, couldn't we? But it gets worse. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money. Can I tell you this? Listen to me. I about said I bet. You can't say that from the pulpit, can you? I can almost guarantee you there's more money in your pockets in the congregation than there is up here in the offering plate. You just had the opportunity to give back to God what He has given to you. And I promise you there's more money in the congregation in your pockets than there is up here on the offering plate. That's sad, isn't it? Lovers of money, boastful, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Proverbs. 23:13 says what? Beat them with a rod. They will not die. This child right here quoted me verbatim right here. They will not. You can't beat those. Listen, it goes on. It says, if you will beat them with the rod, you will deliver their soul from hell. Well, I just can't beat my children. Well, you don't want to deliver them from hell. Hey, listen, mine are 18, 20, and 22, and I still want to deliver their soul from hell from time to time. Mark, you ain't saying nothing, are you? Ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, slanderers without self-control, brutal without love for what is good. Traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. You people take more vacations than any person, any church I've ever seen in my life. That applies. Goodness gracious. Well, Brother Kyle, you're jealous. Yes, I am. Holding to a full... Mark, did you read ahead of that? Did you see that? This is going to smash some toes right here. Holding to the form of religion, but denying its power. Look what Scripture says there. Avoid these people. Stay away from them. Well, why does it tell us to stay away from them? Because they will suck you in and make you just like them. Oh, no, Brother Kyle. Hey, oh, no. Oh, no. I'm going to hang around with them, and I'm going to make them like me. Yeah, let's just see how that works out for you in a couple years. The further you get away from God, the further you are away from God. And listen to me. The longer you stay away from God, the harder it's going to be to get back to God. Well, I can come back to God anytime. You're right. God's always there for you to come back to. But it's harder the longer you stay away. Man will rectify himself to make all things right. Well, you know, I've got things to do. I've got to help this and I've got to do that. I'm going to skip church this Sunday. The more you skip, the easier it's to skip. Amen? No. Oh, me. Oh, me. Well, Brother Kyle, what else do you see of the church, the coming church? Look at Jude 14, chapter 1. There's only one chapter in Jude, but look at verse 14. And Enoch in the seventh generation from Adam prophesied about them. Look, the Lord comes with thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict them of all their ungodly deeds that they have done in an ungodly way and of all the harsh things ungodly sinners have said against him. Time's coming, church. A time's coming. Church, do you see that the overwhelming factor that has hurt the church more than any other is man? Man. Us. So-called Christians are causing the digression of the church. As Jesus said, the gates of hell will not prevail, but church, it's going to damage. The gates of hell won't prevail. Scripture says it won't, but they can damage. Damage will be and has been done to the church. Can I tell you how? It's not hard to figure out. It goes all the way back to denominations. Well, Brother Kyle, this is my opinion. This is how I think we ought to do things. This is what I think. Do you know what happens when I think and when you think? We push the Holy Spirit to the side and say, listen, I'm more important than you. I know more than you. Instead of saying, God, please give me discernment. Show me the direction I need to take. We will look at another church across the street and say, hey, look what they're doing. Let's do it here. And we get ourselves in trouble. Amen? We shouldn't be interested in what I think or what you think. If the comment doesn't come out of your mouth or the sentence doesn't start with, this is what God has led me to do, we need to sidetrack it. Amen? Set it on the back burner. Because, listen, God could care less of my what? Opinion. His word stands. His word stands. I read a poll this past week talking about the numbers of churches that are shutting down again and the numbers of how church... The numbers are declining and baptisms are declining and excitement in the pews are declining. Listen to me. Please hear me. Some of it's true, but you have to understand the culture that we live in. Satan wants to destroy what Christ loves most. Do you hear me? Y'all with me? He's going to do everything he can to destroy the church, us, the body of believers, not the building. He wants to destroy the church. Now, if you look at our culture, especially the liberal media, has told us over and over and over again, you know, we're being more accepting of this and this. Listen, we're becoming more accepting of this and this and this. And listen, you take a vote, everything's voted down. So what that tells you is the media is pumping you full of junk trying to make you believe what they're saying. Hey, listen, our church isn't diminishing. We're growing. Just about every Sunday, we've got new people coming to visit the church. We've got people getting saved. We've got new ministries. Well, hey, listen, our children's ministry before, back in February, we were hurting. We had six in children's ministry that were coming. Now we average about 40. We've got, I don't know, probably 80 on record, right? Hey, listen, not every church is diminishing. Not every church is in trouble. But the world would have you think it is. They really, listen to this article. I pulled this. This is hot off the press. This was today a news story. This is how I lost my faith. Science helped, yes, but I finally accepted the holy texts were written by men. Saturate. Listen, y'all don't listen to that junk. Don't listen to it. God's alive. God's real. Listen, I could tell you all over again how God's alive and God's well, but only I need to point to is myself. Hey, he changed me. I'm not perfect, but I'm not what I used to be, church. Where does all this come from? How can it be stopped? Church, to fix a problem, what we must first see that a problem exists. Do you hear me? That's psychology. To understand that there's a problem, you have to understand that it exists. Now, I'm going to tell you, I sat right there this morning when I first came in, and it was cool. And as y'all came in here sucking up all my air conditioning and blowing out all that hot air, it started getting warm in here. So I looked over at Jeff, and I said, Jeff, and he said, mm-hmm. And he went over there and turned the air on, and I, you know, this air was already on, but it's hot in here. If it's hot in here and the air condition's on, I can make a logical deduction that something's wrong because it's hot in here, right? There's a problem. Now, I can say, oh, we'll wait a couple more weeks when it gets real hot and see if it's not working then, and then we'll do something. No, listen, when you see a problem, you fix it, right? Now, Mr. Taylor and I have been working on a problem for some time. Have you ever gotten a call back from that man yet? Listen, we've got a leak in the social hall, right? In the ceiling, right up against where the trash cans are. And it probably started, you know, 6, 8, 10, 12 months ago. I don't know. Mark, it probably started with just a little few drops coming down back behind the flashing and going down and hitting the top of the tiles in there. You never saw it. If you don't see it, you don't know there's a problem, right? But, you know, we got a couple of good rains, and that little drop turned into a sliver of rain, and it probably, you know, got them wet, and we probably didn't notice because it dried before the next time we got in there to see it. But there were about six, 8 weeks ago, we came in, there was water everywhere. Everywhere. There was water all over the place. What should we do? What should we do? I think what we ought to do is we're having a business meeting, I think, this Wednesday night, aren't we? What we're going to do this Wednesday night is after we go through the old business and we look at the financial report, we're going to have a time of question and answer, and we're going to talk about what we should do. I'm going to bring some pictures, and we're going to put the pictures up there, and I'm going to take pictures of the roof of where we think the leak is coming from. And Mr. Taylor, I think I'm going to have you speak to this and maybe make a motion, you know. Then this is what we're going to do. We're not going to call anybody. We're going to form a committee. We're going to form a committee, and the committee is going to meet for about a month, Mark, and they're going to try to decide what it is we ought to do. If we got a leak, we need to fix it, right? If there's a problem, we need to fix it. Church, did y'all see the problems that we just talked about? Did you see them? And did God create those problems? No. Who created the problems? Man created the problems. Does God ever cause a problem in the church? No. Every problem that's ever existed, we can point at Satan or man, right? Okay, y'all remember y'all said that. Let's point out the problems, then see if we really want to fix them. Let's do it. You ready? Y'all ready? Let's point out the problems and see if we really want to fix them. Now, let's do a poll real quick. How many of y'all want to fix the problems in the church? Come on now. To make it what God wants it to be. Come on, y'all world changers. Y'all world changers, come on. How many of y'all want to fix the problems in the church that it can be what God wants it to be? Okay. Some of y'all didn't raise y'all's hands. Well, let me just start here. Let me start with me. The pastorate has become a job and not a ministry. Do you hear me? The pastorate in most churches around the world has become a job and not a ministry. I have never talked to a pulpit committee, and I'm not trying to raise myself, I'm not trying to say I'm better than anybody, but you can ask anybody who was on the pulpit committee. They talked to me about money, but I didn't come for money. I came to minister. The church treats me very well. I am very fortunate, very blessed. But I'm not here for money. Can I give you an example that will blow you away? There is a church not too far from here where the pastor did a funeral. Now, listen, I don't like to do funerals. I don't. But it's part of my ministry. It is. It really is. What's hard for me is doing funerals for people I don't know. I don't have a clue who they were, never set foot on them, but somebody in the church will say, look, you know, my uncle's cousin's best friend's sister just died. Can you do the funeral? I've never said no. I mean, I've been uncomfortable at times. But listen, this is what happens. This preacher that's very close to here did a funeral for the chairman of the board of deacons' wife. She died. The woman was a matriarch in the church. She did WMU. She did children. She did children's praise. She did all. I mean, she was, they had to have a nominating committee when this woman died. Meeting. Preacher came and did her funeral. Gary, you listening to me? The preacher sent him a bill for $300. Am I lying? If I'm lying, I'm dying. Listen, $300. If that's the going rate, hey, y'all remember that? No, I'm just kidding. Listen to this. Same preacher, same church, close by. There came a position. They were having a lot of children come in, and on I think throughout the week they have a nursery there. Well, there was a special call business meeting, and they opened a position to be head of the nursery, which was a volunteer basis. Now it's a paid position of $60,000 a year. You know who the most likely candidate or most qualified candidate to fill that position was? The preacher's wife. When the person standing in this pulpit considers this a job and not a ministry, get rid of him. Hey, listen, if it's me, y'all need to have a meeting with me. Brother Kyle, is this a job or a ministry? It's a ministry. I promise you. We don't have a meeting with the deacons unless I'm saying, listen, guys, I feel like God's leading us to start a new ministry. It's a ministry. If you've got a preacher in 15 years, I hope it's me, that's up here and he's just doing little devotionals and you know, get rid of him. It's a ministry. So now I started with me. Let's move on. Preachers are not preaching. They're giving little devotionals. Church, I was once asked, y'all, I'm serious. Sharon, I'm serious. You're still awake, right? Punch James. Look up here at me. I was once asked as I was leaving church if I would preach a feel-good sermon sometime. I said, they don't all make you feel good? And she said, well, you step on my toes a lot. Well, I said, I'm just preaching what God... So what you're saying is you don't want me to preach what God puts on my heart to preach. You want me to preach a feel-good sermon so you'll feel good about yourself when you walk out the door. Well, yeah. I said, you do understand if you don't feel good about yourself when you walk out the door, it's not my fault. I'm just preaching what God lays on my heart to preach. And if you don't feel good, it's because the Holy Spirit of God should have been talking to you. Why don't you do something about yourself to make yourself feel good? Why don't you do what God told you to do? Listen to me, church. I'm not going to preach a feel-good sermon just to make you feel good. Not happening. Y'all do want me to preach what God wants me to preach, right? Okay, just checking. Now, what else is wrong with the church? Hey, listen, we need to fix it. False teachers have crept into the church. Now, this is part of my ministry and/slash my job. I'm to look and to watch and to listen. And when I hear that somebody is in this church teaching something that is contrary to the Word of God, I am to walk up to them and say, listen, we need to talk. Well, what are we going to talk about? What you are teaching in your class, is it contrary to what the Word of God is teaching? If it is, listen to me. We need to have a conversation. And if you want to continue to preach or teach something that's contrary to the Word of God, hey, listen, deacons, I'm not even going to have a meeting with you. I'm going to ask the person to step down. Let's move on. What else is wrong with the church? Y'all, please buckle your seatbelts and put your trays in an upright position. You ready? What's wrong with the church? People just are not interested in hearing the Word of God preached anymore. People just aren't interested in hearing the Word of God preached anymore. Listen to me. I'm just about done. Y'all hold on with me. Gary, your friend's awake? I'm holding my hand up. Listen to me. I solemnly promise to this congregation that I will, let me stand up straight, that I will never, ever, ever again, never, ever, 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 never, be upset at people who are not interested in coming to church. I promise to you, God, listen, you're listening to me. I promise you, and I'm promising my wife, look at her, I promise you, it's not going to keep me up at night because you don't want to come to church. It's not going to. And my promise to you, this congregation, and to you, this deacons, is this. If you desire not to come to church, I'm not going to chase you down. You'll get a card or you might get a call. But I'm not going every time, man, where you been? I hate not seeing you. Where have you gone? Please come back. Kumbaya, my Lord. Please come back. Hey, listen, if you want to leave, you're going to go anyway. There's nothing I can do. But listen, hold on a second. I want to say this right. I would have this in my notes here. What number am I on? Here we go. I will never again beg any church member to come back to church. If you are a church member and you are not interested in coming to church, what does that say about you? Why, yes, I'm a member of Sheffield Oaks Baptist Church in Savannah, Georgia, and the farms. If you're not interested in coming to God's house to listen to God's word that God has put on the heart of God's man that you call your preacher, and you're not interested in coming, what does that say about you? Well, I'm too busy. You're too busy to hear what God has put on the heart of God's man that you call your pastor at your local church. Brother Kyle, I don't feel good. I don't feel good all the time either. I know that shocks y'all. Brother Kyle, he's a good-looking man, bald head. He's physically fit. He runs about every day. He doesn't know what it likes to feel like me. Listen, for the past 2 months, I don't know what it was. When I hit 45, I woke up the next day and my joints feel like somebody put rocks in them. I don't think it's that fibro stuff. I don't know what it is, but I mean, my joints ache. And what do you do? I'm not gonna cry. Listen, I can feel bad at home, or I can feel bad at church. Listen, if I'm sick, I'm gonna take some medicine. Amen. Y'all, hey, if I don't feel good, now y'all think about this for a second. I'm just gonna lay at home in bed and just make myself feel better. Or I'm going to go to the house of the great physician and lift his name up and praise his name. Hey, listen, there's never been a time, never, ever, ever, never been a time, brother, where I felt bad and I decided, hey, I'm going to go to God's house anyway, that when I got there, I didn't feel good. Well, you're just better than me. No, I'm not. God is better than me. Okay, I spent a little too much. I didn't mean to spend that much time with that. I had 2 minutes beside that one. Listen, what else is wrong with the church? This is the last one, and I'm going to move on. We've inserted our opinions into scriptures and made our thoughts equal to or greater than what the Word of God proclaims. I hope y'all don't care what I have to say, but you should hear and care what God's Word has to say. Amen? If I'm not preaching and my foundation is not the Word of God, something's wrong. I don't care who you are, what denomination you come from. I don't care what your background is. I really don't. Listen, all doctrine and theology its foundation is in the Word of God. From cover to cover. Hey, listen, I even believe the maps. I believe the table of contents. I have faith in it. Brother Kyle, why do you have faith in it? Because it changed my life. It really did. Well, I'm just about done. What is it? What can we do to fix these problems? Y'all see that the problems exist, right? And y'all see how man has been the greatest problem within the church, right? Now listen, I'm willing to fix my part. Are you willing to fix your part? Awful quiet, Mr. White. What can we do to fix the problems? What can we do that God knows we should do? What is it that we need to do? We need to admit that we have messed up. We've messed up. Pray that God will show us how to fix the problem. Well, let me ask this, church. What are you willing to admit to God that He might fix for you? What are you willing to admit to God that He might fix for you? Church, listen, we cannot fix the problems of every church in this nation, but we can fix ourselves. That was good stuff, wasn't it? That's original. Listen to me, church. We cannot fix the problems of every church in this nation, but we can fix ours. We can. We really can. Brother John, he's been preaching in churches all over the place. Mark's preaching churches all over the place. Listen. We need to praise God above and beyond, because y'all don't know how messed up the church is outside these four walls. It's crazy. It really is. We can help keep ourselves the way God intended us to be. Church, listen to me. What are you willing to give that the church, this church, remains in the days coming? What are you willing? What are you willing to give? What are you willing to admit to God? What are you willing to let God fix that this church remains healthy in the times that are coming? Not maybe coming, they're coming. Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, this is your time. These are your people. I've done what you've asked me to do, and I've preached this message. I'm sure it's not a popular one, Lord. But God, I pray that you would move on the hearts, that your Spirit would move on the hearts of those who are sitting in this congregation. If there be one here this morning who's never accepted you as their personal Savior, I pray that they'll have the fortitude to walk down, take me by the hand, let me show them what Scripture says, not what man says, but what Scripture says each person must do to be born again. Lord, if there's somebody here who knows that they're not what they ought to be, I pray that you would give them, Lord, give them the peace to come down and fall on their face before you. Lord, we want our church to be alive and thriving until you come. And the only way we can do that is to admit when something's broken. And Lord, if there's somebody here this morning who's broken, they know they're broken, Lord, I pray that you give them the wisdom, the fortitude to walk down here and spend some time with you. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come?